Arg! Ahoy there, matey! Welcome aboard the world of boating.
Please stand clear of the doors. Por favor, manténganse alejado de las puertas.
The radio show devoted exclusively to the boating lifestyle.
You're going to need a bigger boat.
Brought to you by worldofboating.com, your internet portal for the boating enthusiast.
I was just looking into buying a boat of my own.
Call World of Boating toll-free now at 1-888-28-BOAT. That's 1-888-828-BOAT.
And welcome. This is the World of Boating. Greg, your first mate. That is me, along with Captain Patrick. And we even have Rusty once again on with us at the same time.
I know. It's crazy.
It is a freak of nature. You would think at this time of year where everybody's taking summer vacations that we wouldn't be able to coordinate our schedules, especially while we're talking about what's going on out on the water. But lo and behold, here we are. So it's kind of a festive time. And Patrick is so excited.
You texted me no less than 23 times this week to make sure that I would be here at the studio today. What do you mean about coordinating schedules?
Well, you know, I just wanted to make sure you didn't miss the festive time that we share together every week.
And when is that occurring? Because this ain't it.
You're waiting for it to start.
Yeah, I've been waiting for 7 years.
Yep, that's pretty accurate, actually. Patrick is still in pain. Just from leftover from last week, probably.
Yeah, pretty much.
But he mustered through. I don't know. Is that right? The way to describe it? Mustered? No.
Soldiered.
Powered.
You're thinking of muster, like mustering up the courage to come to the studio today.
Yeah, maybe that's what it is. That or the mustard.
Not to be confused with the condiment. Mustard.
Well, I think I did confuse
you
it
did.
With condiment because I had some on my turkey sandwich for lunch before
that's
the show.
That's what you
today.
Get for having a baboon heart.
Yeah. Well, hey, that's what you do. All right. So anyway, the good news or bad news, depending on your perspective, is that Captain Rusty can't stay with us for the whole show.
That's true.
Yeah.
So this is just like a normal visit then with Rusty.
Yes.
It is. In and out.
We have to give him the floor, and in and out's not really the best way I'd like to look at it. But regardless, what's going on with you today, Rusty?
I'm in Sarasota, Florida.
You're partaking in an Amish ceremony.
You know, I want to go to that Amish restaurant everybody talks about here.
Yoder's. Yeah.
Yes. Yeah.
That's the place.
I want to go there.
I'm familiar with it. Yeah. Okay.
I'm actually here for the Chris Craft Dealers Conference.
Okay.
And,
that's where they're having it, huh?
Yeah, it is. They have all the new models in the water here at the marina. And
Are you at the Vinoy?
No, we are at the Hyatt.
The
Vinoy sounds really good.
Yeah, well, that's where the Amish people have their sacrifices.
No, the Vinoy is awesome out there on Tampa Bay.
That's a great
location.
All right, maybe I'm getting it mixed up with
you
someone else. All right, so you're having a dealer conference for Chris Craft.
We are, and actually what they do, which I like this, is they have a client day for the first 2 days. So today and tomorrow is a client experience or a 2018 showcase. So customers that we've had throughout the year that haven't purchased or that would like to purchase, we invite them down here, and you know they can go out and ride on all the boats that we don't have in stock. And they get special incentives if they buy one, they're here. So I have about 4 or 5 customers that have come down for the event. So hopefully we'll sell a boat or two throughout the weekend and go to the dealers conference. So no complaints. It's beautiful. And I do like Sarasota. It's one of my favorite towns.
Yeah, they have beautiful beaches. And those Amish restaurants are awesome.
You know what we call those events in the industry, right, Rusty?
What's that?
Cattle calls.
Cattle calls?
Yes.
Why? That makes sense.
That's when we open up. It usually takes place 2 days before the actual dealer part of the dealer conference or a few days after the dealer conference ends where you bring in all your prospective customers. Sometimes it's an invitation only because you want them to feel as special.
Okay, but do you get out in front of the operation and go, shoo-wee, hip, pig, 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 pig.
Okay, what part of cattle call did you confuse with a pig call or a hog call?
Well, what's a pig or what's a hog or no?
Never mind. Just
what's a cow call? Is there such a thing?
That depends. Usually 2 a.m.
Here, Bunsy!
Usually
here,
about
Bunsy!
Usually about 2 a.m. at the bar.
Oh, of course.
Oh, that's true.
All right.
Funny and true.
Rusty knows what I'm talking about.
Yeah, or he's easily amused, which I'm going to fall in the latter category as far as my opinion. But regardless, okay, so these go on, and but they're still good events.
They're great because what it allows the customers to do, especially for the new product that's coming, they get kind of a sneak peek preview. And better than that is there's actually an opportunity for them to go and drive these boats.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And they how many boats do they have in the water, Rusty?
Oh, they have 15.
Wow. Okay. So ranging in size from what to what?
The 21 foot up to the 43.
So see, if you're a prospective customer, you've got basically the entire product line there that you can go from boat to boat to boat, mm-hmm. and it's a great way to sell and showcase and get them to sign.
Right. So you got five out there. You think you're going to make five sales?
I hope so. The only one, I have two people that are here to see the new pilot house, and that's a new boat that Chris Craft come out with that I think is going to do extremely well. And so we got a couple of people looking at it. The other one is, you get these ones where the guy goes, I want the 27-foot launch is one of the boats we have. And he says, my garage, I have 28 feet, and he wants to keep it in his garage. And you're going, this is going to be tight. So I don't know. I'm trying to decide if it'll fit. You can get a swing away trailer, but the trailer would have to actually swing away under. It won't work, will it, Captain Patrick?
Will not work.
And
because what you're failing to take into account, usually when they measure the boat, they're going centerline length. Is this a boat with an extended platform, or is it a molded?
It does. And I actually measure the boat. It's kind of a weird thing they did this year. They don't have a 25-foot launch. They have a 27-foot launch, but it's exactly the same boat. They just added the swim platform to the length. Kind of odd, but whatever.
So I measured
the boat.
Is it a stern drive or an outboard?
It is.
Okay.
Stern drive.
Is the outboard tucked under the swim platform, or does it stick out past the swim platform?
No, it's under.
Okay. So here's how you make that sale. Come in close, Rusty. I'm going to tell you exactly how to do this. Because it's the 25-foot boat just with a 2-foot swim platform on it, correct?
That's correct.
Okay. What you need to do is make that platform either A, removable like the ski boats, or B, hinged so that he can lift it up so that he can get that extra 2 feet in his garage.
That's what he needs. He needs a good 2 feet.
It is not hard to do because a lot of the Nautiques and the Sessions and stuff like that, they would have swim platforms that were, they would basically lift on and off and then pin in place. So getting a bracket system for that, it would take a little bit of customization, possibly something Correct Craft.
Chris Craft.
Chris Craft could
sure.
Their engineering department could help with, or a hinge mechanism that would allow it to flip up and be secured in an upright position that would allow him, boom, you've got 2 feet plus the swing away tongue trailer, and you just sold the boat, my friend.
It's either that or the incredible shrinking ray.
So I've heard those, we get those calls as well as, I've got X number of feet in my garage and, will this boat fit? And, sir, I really can't tell you. I mean, I don't know the layout of your garage. I don't know what extrusions, all that stuff that you may have, what your height is, things of that nature. We had one customer, with those power towers, and he wanted to be able to unhinge his power tower to get it even further down so that he could clear. And it's like, first of all, you'll never get it lined back up because I've tried to do it at the factory, and you need like 4 people to try to get that thing lined up. And 2, I said, why don't you just get a very large hitch and so to where you can jack or a jack stand, for your trailer to where you can change the pitch or the attitude of the boat and get it to duck in under the clearance and you're done. You don't have to, for a $15 part for a jack stand and you're going through all these steps of trying to, how do I unpin this heart arch and, all this other stuff. It's like, just change the attitude of the trailer. For your particular customer, I would think the swim platform, knowing that it was added on, is something that if you could make it removable or hinged,
right,
you're in good shape.
Sir, you're going to need a bigger house.
That, you know, that's what I was thinking. And, and the breakaway trailers, I mean, I know that they can do a breakaway tongue, but this would actually have to, the breakaway would have to be under the front of the boat, because the boat comes in at 27 feet and 9 inches, and it needs to fit. So he's got 3 inches to play with. Mm. So it'd be tight.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I don't think I'd want anything supporting my boat that had a breakaway component to it. You hear what I'm saying?
Actually, Rusty, instead of one that's hinged, you may look at a trailer that tongue mechanism is actually removable via a couple of bolts to where they can slide it out of the sleeve.
Mm.
And you're not having it. In other words, you might be able to get some more length there.
Yeah, more tongue. More tongue. That's what you need there, Rusty. And we thank you for checking in. Okay, buddy? Get back
to
work now.
Have a good time.
All right. Captain Keith is next. Stay close.
You're listening to the World of Boating Radio Network.
Hey, boaters. You know, there's a lot of things to consider when you're out on the water. But what about when you want to jump in it? Well, like for a snorkel or even a dive. That's just one reason why you, as a boater, should be a member of Divers Alert Network. DAN is your dive safety organization. However, many of the benefits you get from being a DAN member go far beyond in-water activities. Just by being a member of DAN, you get access to 24-hour DAN Travel Assist. This program provides evacuation assistant coverage up to $100,000 when you travel over 50 miles from home for both diving and non-diving injuries. When you consider it's just $35 for individuals and $55 for entire families, it's kind of silly not to be a member of DAN if you like spending time out on the water. There's many more benefits, way too numerous to list here. So go to dan.org and get all the info. Whether you're into diving or not, see for yourself why it makes total sense for every boater to be a member of Divers Alert Network. That's dan.org.
Be an explorer in the other two-thirds of your world. Be the buddy who takes the kids in the aquarium instead of just to it. Be adventurous. Be amazed. Be a diver.
Even Keatley wasn't ready for me or anything that followed. Chased by a police department led by his ex-girlfriend and hunted by brain fork-wielding Fijian assassins, it's everything he can do to keep from getting locked up, killed, or worse. Kava Screw is available as an ebook for $2.99 at Amazon.com. Kava Screw. Put a brain fork in him. He's done.
You have successfully navigated the Sea of Commerce and now are clear to cruise with the World of Boating.
I do like the water.
The radio show devoted exclusively to the boating lifestyle.
The sun, the sea air, good friends.
Brought to you by worldofboating.com, your internet portal for the boating enthusiast.
I see land. Wait, I know this area. There. That is the safest place to come ashore.
You're set.
I've never been more certain of anything in my life.
Wow! I did not know what I was talking about.
I spend my whole life running around. Still let the wind kind of blow me around. Well, I dropped to
this is the World of Boating. Greg, your first mate, that is me, along with Captain Patrick. And we are now joined by Captain Keith. It's been a while. Keith, how you doing, buddy?
I am doing very good. It's been a long time. Yeah. I hope you and Patrick are doing very well.
Well, he's been doing this thing, you know, this four-letter word stuff that we don't like to talk about much here on the World of Boating, which would be work. Oh, I can't believe I said that out loud. But regardless, I'm glad you're able to, you know, sacrifice a few minutes of your valuable life for us today on the World of Boating. So what have you been up to? I know you've been busy with regulator boats, right?
I have. This is the time of year for most boat manufacturers, actually almost all, due to the model year changeover. So we just have announced the 2018 products. So I've had the tough job of the past week of being down the Florida Keys doing our photo shoot of all our boats.
Aha. Very nice. Are you guys doing that with your stuff too there, Patrick?
Or we are. But if photo shoots are not as glamorous as I think you think they are, Greg.
What? He was down in the Florida Keys.
They're
not. Perfect.
They're not.
I saw the pictures on Facebook. They looked awesome.
Ask Captain Keith if they're as glamorous as you think they are.
Is glamorous the right word or what? What do you think?
You know what? Here's what it is. The great thing about it is we were up at the marina, get to watch the sunrise in the morning.
So yeah.
The sunrise. And then all the way through the evening, we get to watch the sunset for the entire thing. So beautiful day.
It worked.
Quite like 18 hours on the water.
Yeah.
Enjoying the water and the sunsets and the sun.
And I'm laughing because what Captain Keith means is when we do photo shoots, you have to understand the boats that we're going to shoot, and this is probably any manufacturer, you've got a small window of morning sun.
Yeah, the golden hour.
You have a small window.
That's what they call it. They call it the golden hour. The sun in the morning when the sun comes up and when the sun goes down. That's called the golden hour, the perfect time for video and photography. Am I right, Keith? That's it, right? I'm talking the lingo.
That is the sweet spot, yeah. But it doesn't just stop there. The photographing and the video starts right before sunup,
yep.
And then you have to have all the time to get the boat ready.
Yep.
The boat has to look perfect before that. So the work actually starts an hour or so before sunrise.
Oh, yeah, usually about...
golden hour.
Usually about, 4:30, 5 o'clock at the marina, getting the boats uncovered, wiping them down. The models show up. Some models can't find out where they're supposed to go. They're not dressed the right way. Then the art director that you have is, oh, we want them on this boat. Hey, how come that boat's already... We want to shoot this boat today. Then you're scrambling around trying to get all this other stuff done. Then you get out to where you're supposed to go. And then all of a sudden they say, oh, we don't want to shoot here. Let's find another location. So you scramble to get all this stuff to really just kind of get an hour's worth of photography. Then you get back. The models get off the boats. Everybody else goes away. You're cleaning the boats. Now you're doing all your inset shots, setting up canvas, all that stuff. So it does, to Keith's point, it doesn't stop. When you're part of the company, the manufacturer, it is before sunup to after sunset, 18-20 hours. So it's not as glamorous, Greg, as I think you are making it out to be.
It is
a lot of work.
I would just be available for the golden hour part of the evening.
You sure that
by
was
the way.
The golden hour that you want to be available for?
Depends on what the models look like, mm-hmm. and we can talk. Regardless, you got some great shots because I saw that you posted some examples there on Facebook. So it worked out pretty good for you despite the long hours and...
Yes, it was a lot of fun. And for Patrick, it's correct. It is a lot of long hours.
Mm-hmm.
But I can't complain. Those long hours are on a boat on the water.
Yeah, exactly.
I can complain.
Well, Patrick, you can complain about anything.
And the other neat thing about this is, Patrick's right. You use models and sometimes friends of friends and sometimes just, you know, hired models, whatever it is, to be on the boat, to look pretty and to do all those kind of things. But those people typically know how to drive the boat. So, like my job and some of the other people's job is to drive the boat all day long. So I do get a lot of wheel time, helm time when that's going on. But, that can be enjoyable in its own roundabout way, having the helicopter follow you around and you just go ride.
Now, are you in the photo shoot yourself or do they have you covered up or are you crouched down below the wheel and someone else is your eyes? What are you doing there, Keith?
No, it's called Photoshop.
Ah, really?
Actually, I've been in a lot of our photo shoots, but because my I have two now adult daughters, my hair above was a little lacking. So usually any time that you would see somebody driving a boat and they had a hat on,
mm-hmm.
and just kind of like these very muscular forearms, you know, one hand on the wheel, very professional. That's me.
Guaranteed. Those pictures where you're like, is that a guy or a girl? I don't know.
But the other time with Captain Keith, he's absolutely right. We'd get models, and my job was to talk to them and say, okay, so have you ever driven a boat before? Oh, yeah, yeah. And then you find out that the biggest boat he ever drove was a 14-foot with a 15-horsepower outboard.
Yeah.
So now you're trying to explain to him how to put the boat in gear, and you're putting him on a 35-foot boat, or something like that, twin engines, how to trim the boat. So for Captain Keith's point, like with the helicopter, now you got to get up at the helm, you got to get the boat up and running on plane, trimmed up. Now you got to go hide and either duck down in the cabin.
There's not too many places to hide on a center console.
Yeah, yours, I had one on one of our 32s where I had to drop down between the helm and the helm seat, and the male model and the female model, their feet, I was being crushed by them. And it's a great shot because the female model, she's looking down and she's laughing because the boat, we're starting to take some swells and I'm bouncing off the floor and their feet are jamming back on top of me. And I'm getting beat up on the right side of my ribs every time that we would hit a swell. Mm. But, it was a great shot. So, it's a lot of work. It's a lot of bumps and bruises. And
yeah. Great gig if you have a foot fetish too.
Yeah, Greg, here's what I just learned of this whole story.
Yeah.
I must be much prettier than Patrick because they never asked me to lay on the floor.
Well, there you go.
Oh, I have no doubt you're much prettier than I am. there is no doubt in my mind. Usually it was, Patrick, get out of the way. Get down in the cabin. But how scary it is to put somebody that has no experience at the helm of, a $200,000 boat and just let them go.
Yeah, especially if they got bad feet. They start stinking.
Absolutely.
Whoa, that would be the worst. More coming up. Stay close.
You're listening to the World of Boating Radio Network.
This is the World of Boating. Greg, your first mate. Greg, that's me. Yeah, me. Greg, yeah. And Patrick. Captain Patrick is here, as well as Keith. Now, it is time to open up the World of Boating soapbox floor debate forum now, because last week, Patrick was saying that he's expecting a big downturn for the boating.
That's not what I said.
Okay, well, I'll let you rephrase it in 10 seconds. Go.
I said that the boating industry historically follows automakers, and automakers had experienced their sixth straight month of declining sales in a certain segment of cars. Now, SUVs and trucks are still selling strong.
10 seconds is up.
But the sedans and things of that nature, sales have fallen off.
All right, so you feel that we're going to follow some kind of trend similarly in the boating industry?
We are due after...
Keith, is the sky falling? What do you think?
Yep. Well, I'm going to say this. I completely agree with Patrick.
What?
Let me explain why, though.
Ha!
All right,
Mark,
explain why.
Yeah,
right.
Well, explain.
He is automobile industry, sedans and stuff are not as strong, and they're taking a little dip. But SUVs and RVs are very strong. If you look at the boating industry, you'll see the same thing in the number of trends. Pontoon boats and fiberglass outboard powered offshore boats are doing extremely well, where runabouts and stern drive boats are not doing well. So depending on what part of the segment of the market you turn about, yes, there can be things. So those manufacturers that aren't heavy into pontoons, aren't heavy in outboard power offshore boats, really actually experience a little bit of a downturn, just as sedans have. But when you look at the SUV side of it, or the RV side of the automobile industry, which is clicking along very strong, you can see those same numbers there, because pontoon market still is dominating, is still strong out there with a double-digit growth rate. As well as, the center console market, which I'm involved in.
All right, we'll find out here next whether Captain Keith had been gotten to or paid off by Patrick next, and why he actually agrees. Because something's off here. I just feel it.
You're listening to the World of Boating Radio Network.
This is the World of Boating. Greg, first mate Patrick, and also Captain Keith with us today. All right, so I'm perplexed. I'm surprised that Patrick is predicting a downturn for the boating industry in certain categories and saying that we just follow the we're going to follow the lead of the automobile industry.
Look, the boat manufacturing has had increases since the Great Recession. Now, those increases haven't been probably what we wanted to see year to year, you know, a 10%, 15%, but it's been steady.
Well, it's been steady, but this summer right now, Keith, you guys are having like a record time right now at regulator boats, aren't you?
Correct. Well, not only us, regulator is having a record year, but when we look at our direct competitors out there who build center consoles, offshore boats, they're all having record years too. So if you want to look at it from segment to segment, I think there's some segments that are extremely strong. And I think as an industry, you will see that 3-6% growth over the course of the year. But if you look at, you know, some particular boats, you look at sailboats right now, or you look at, you know, the stern drive, bow rider style boats, you see losses are barely, you know, holding their heads above water.
Yeah, and that's why, you know, Keith, what we talked about last week was Volvo Penta's acquisition of Seven Marine and how that's going to be huge for manufacturing, especially for manufacturers that are kind of strictly into stern drive on larger boats. Cool. This is going to give them a product line, a pipeline, if you will, to those 557s, those 627, and then you can darn well bet Volvo Penta already has power heads and gear casings all ready to go, just going to package them up in a nice Seven Marine, you know, outer package and get them to those manufacturers.
Yeah, because the thing that Seven Marine had been lacking for a while is a distribution network and a servicing network. Because, you know, the people were afraid to get them because there's nowhere to get them service. And, you know, Volvo Penta has a very wide range of technicians and service centers. And I suppose what I'll be curious in watching is over the next 6 months or year, is Volvo Penta able to train up all of their staff so that you see that servicing of Seven Marines everywhere you see Volvo Penta? And if that happens, it will make, you know, Seven Marine a real player in the industry.
Yeah, I don't think they're going to have a problem with the on the technician side. Their challenge is going to be is to get those the new product to the manufacturers, you know, 150, 200, 250, 300, 350 horsepower outboards, you know, with Volvo Penta backing it, but with the Seven Marine branding that's already been established, and get those get them to manufacturers that are willing to retool or build new cabin style boats. I mean, we've got like a 32 Express that we're now putting twin 300s or twin 350s on the back of. We can't build these things fast enough.
Hmm. Well, and so what do? You just work as fast as you can?
Well,
what?
No. What I'm saying is Volvo Penta getting back into that market, okay, and having an already kind of an established brand that was almost kind of a niche, you know, certainly for the big go fast boats. Now you have manufacturers that may do a lot of Volvo Penta installation, a lot of Volvo Penta business. Volvo Penta's, I guarantee you, they're going to lean on them and say, we want you to take on our outboard line as well, and this is what you're going to offer and get those product out into the market. So manufacturers will be able to offer more outboard offerings on boats that traditionally you would think would have only had been stern drive.
Okay.
And that's correct. And I think that you'll see manufacturers exactly what, you know, Patrick's talking about, whether it's Regal or Sea Ray or any other brand out there, they're moving more and more toward outboard, and they have been for the past couple of years. because of this. The advantages lie in the outboard category versus the stern drive. And now that you have, you know, one of the bigger stern drive companies, you know, step up and say, hey, we're getting in the outboard market too, because I think they see it as well. So I think it is smart for those manufacturers to make that move.
Well, Volvo Penta was definitely starting to lose some market share as manufacturers were going more to outboard offerings for smaller boats. And people, as you pointed out, Captain Keith, moving away kind of from that stern drive, it's more maintenance. You can't get those parts up out of the water if it's a boat that stays in water, especially salt water, versus outboards that you can get trimmed up all the way out. And, you know, just the overall aesthetic appearance, people would probably much prefer that. So it was a smart move, I think, for Volvo Penta for their re-entry back into outboards.
Well, it all makes sense, but let's get back to why exactly Captain Keith and Patrick agree on the downturn. I mean, Keith, have you been drinking? Or, I mean, well,
No. Here's the part I do agree with Catcher Patrick. Some categories will have a downturn, i.e., stern drive powered runabouts. But there are.
But why? Why are those going to take a hit?
Okay, here's why. Aluminum is cheaper to manufacture. Pontoon boats are easier to manufacture, require less labor, okay? And you have more offerings off of one deck platform. Center consoles are hot, okay? They've come back kind of into vogue. The offerings have been off the chart with what is out there, what regulator is putting out. I mean, it's just what people want. So the stern drive cruiser, fiberglass is expensive, resin is expensive, gel coat is expensive, and that inboard outboard package that you need to move that product is expensive. So people will weigh that cost against, hey, maybe we'll get a center console, or maybe we'll get a pontoon boat, and we'll hold off on getting the big cruiser.
You agree with that, Keith?
And I do, yes, because it's almost back to that category. I mean, the little casual conversation around the center console category with us, and even when I talk with the other center console builders, is a center console is an SUV. It is a well-rounded boat that does a lot of things, where a cruiser is a nice big sedan. You know, and as sedan sales get hurt, I think you see that, you know, that some of the cruiser sales get hurt. You know, in there. And even some of the companies that make, you know, the walk-arounds and the Express aren't doing gangbusters. They're doing okay, but not gangbusters. And then the last little caveat I'll throw in here that's affecting things or whatever along the way, because we see it within our stuff, is the boating captains and the boat owners is aging. The average boat owner gets older every year. It's not as many 18 and 20-year-olds get into boating as there once was. You got many more 50, 60, and 70-year-olds into boating. And in turn, you see some of those bigger boats, you know, in our case, a sport fishing boat, you see people coming out of big 60-foot Vikings and decide to get a 40-foot center console because it's easier to handle, less maintenance, less work, those kind of stuff in some of the bigger boats. So maybe the aging of our boat owners is playing a role in the fact that they're headed toward the SUV of the boating world.
Patrick?
I think Captain Keith is right on the money, because I know there's some stuff that's coming very soon that's going to be kind of that hybrid boat.
I got to say right up front, I believe between the two of you there has been some collusion. I'm just saying. You guys are way too much in sync right now.
That's an illusion. See, my place card, my word card said I'm holding
up. It's an illusion? Collusion?
Yeah.
What are the odds?
But, you know, a manufacturer, say somebody such as Tierra, that doesn't do, you know, big cruisers and an outboard, they're losing market, as Captain Keith kind of pointed out, to that center console market, because it's easier to maintain. They can go out for the day. They're packing them with the amenities, doing some cabins below deck, things of that nature on the walkarounds. And I don't need this big, huge boat. It's not so much, as he said, as the boating generation ages, it's not so much a status thing now as I want to have something that I can go out and run by myself, come back, take care of it, clean it, maintain it, and not have it cost me a boat payment to do it.
Correct. And too, with the bigger horsepowers, and you know, with the we talking about 7 and Volvo Penta doing that, you know, now you can take a, you know, a 30-foot or 40-foot or 35-foot center console. You can run the 100 miles offshore fish and still be back for dinner tonight. And if you got a big sport fishing boat, you can't do that. You're going to spend your 4 hours clogging out there, and you still got 4 hours to come home late that night.
Well, I guess we're just going to have to wait and see what happens. I mean, this is all just a guess that, or you guys feel this could happen, but it hasn't happened yet.
There's going to be, go ahead, Keith.
But here's what I did. I said, if we were to look out 6 months or even a year or even 18 months from now, the industry will be doing better than it is right now. It is continuing growth as an entire industry. There will be segments of this industry that doesn't grow near about as fast as some other segments of the way. So I do believe the industry is getting better.
Okay. And, you know, the only ones who know for sure are the Russians, which obviously, you know, Patrick and Keith have been talking to, it sounds like to me. All right, more coming up on the World of Boating.
You're listening to the World of Boating Radio Network.
Even Keatley wasn't ready for me or anything that followed. Chased by a police department led by his ex-girlfriend and hunted by brain fork-wielding Fijian assassins, it's everything he can do to keep from getting locked up, killed, or worse. Kava Screw is available as an ebook for $2.99 at Amazon.com. Kava Screw. Put a brain fork in him. He's done.
Traffic sucks, unless you're scuba diving with Mike Scott.
Mike glanced down at his dive computer. It showed less than 50 PSI left in his tank. Probably just a few more breaths.
Or riding shotgun in a thrilling car chase.
One bullet hit the Jeep's windshield, spiderwebbing the passenger side. Mike shifted into second gear and felt the Jeep leap forward. This just got serious.
Escape your commute with audiobooks from author Eric Douglas. Download to your phone. Go to booksbyeric.com or audible.com.
Stop, think, react. I'm Greg the Dive Master, and I'll explain why this golden rule of diving can be a worthwhile life lesson next.
This scuba tip is brought to you by DAN, Divers Alert Network. DAN helps divers in need of medical emergency assistance with the DAN hotline and is the most recognized and trusted organization worldwide in the fields of dive safety and emergency services, health, research, and education. Join DAN today by going to DAN.org. DAN, your dive safety association.
Panic is a diver's worst enemy. Giving a person the tools and mastery to overcome various in-water scenarios is a major goal of a scuba certification course. This is the REACT portion of the rule divers use to overcome potential panic situations. Stop, think, react. Works great in diving and works great in everyday life, too. Dive into dan.org for more info and to Scuba Radio to get the urge to submerge. Scuba Radio.
Successfully navigated the Sea of Commerce and now are clear to cruise with the World of Boating.
I do like the one.
The radio show devoted exclusively to the boating lifestyle.
The sun, the sea air, good friends.
Brought to you by worldofboating.com, your internet portal for the boating enthusiast.
Ryan, we've got to get on that ship.
Attention passengers, the karaoke contest will begin in 5 minutes.
Okay, now we've really got to get on that ship.
Look at me, I'm ship-faced. I'm a nautical's face. Round these yachties, I'm out of place. I'm ship-faced.
I believe that's what happened with Keith and Captain Patrick. That's why they're so in sync today. But, that's good. There's always a first time for everything, and I guess today was it. We let Keith get back to more productive stuff. And, I made him walk the plank. I was tired of them two agreeing too much. Well, yeah, that's not very compelling. That's, you know, when they agree,
compelling.
Yeah, you're just happy that someone agreed with you.
No, you just have to play it up like, for the first time ever, ever, ever.
Yeah, that's pretty accurate, actually. Yeah. All right. Well, let's just move on because we have some other boating news and information that we have to navigate before we return to the dock. So
we
what do we got?
There was a birthday, Greg, this past week.
What are the odds?
One in 572 billion. The Erie Canal turned 200 years old.
All right.
200 years ago, this past Tuesday, work began on the Erie Canal.
Okay.
Nice. System. So.
Happy birthday to the Erie Canal. Yeah.
You're a grand old canal. You're a shallow water canal.
It's kind of a patriotic thing. It's not really a birthday thing, is it?
Well, it's better than yours. So anyway, Erie Canal turns 200 years old. A lot of low bridges on the Erie Canal. A lot of low bridges. Because they really weren't planning on recreational boating, I'm pretty sure, when they built it. But you can recreationally boat on the Erie Canal. So if you have not done so and you're up in that area.
Be something to check off the list?
It would be.
Got it.
Out in Minnesota. The governor of Minnesota was out promoting bass fishing.
Jesse Ventura?
No, on Lake Mille Lacs. However, the governor of Minnesota had enacted a three-week ban on walleye fishing. And a bunch of walleye fishermen decided to kind of circle his boat.
Really?
Yeah. They weren't real happy that he put this ban. But, you know, sometimes, you know, a ban is necessary so that you can make sure that the species that your maybe your business as a fishing guide, what have you, that there's enough fish. So obviously there was whatever report he got from the environmental agencies that this was a necessary action. I don't know. You would think that 3 weeks, would that really make that much of a difference? But
3 weeks doesn't seem like much.
It doesn't.
But it could be a spawning time of year for them or something.
It could be.
That's what it sounds like to me. Just, you know, I don't know the specifics of this. But you say they protested by circling his boat.
Yeah.
And they, doing what?
Just
like yelling at him or just like circling his boat? Like, hey,
circling his boat.
Monkey in the middle, monkey in the middle.
Yeah, they were not very happy.
Yeah, but I mean, how intimidating can that be? So what?
Not very.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. Hopefully they did a little bit more than that. I mean, I don't want to encourage violence, but I'm just saying. Circling someone's boat doesn't sound very...
Oh, you want to talk about encouraging violence? On the world of baiting... The world baiting. Of boating.
The world of baiting is our other show.
That's the other show. The World of Boating Facebook page, which if you're not already a fan of, please check it out, or the worldofboating.com website. But there's a video posted of, and it really doesn't have to do with boating as much as it does with fishing, but where this insane PETA-ish, you know, Society for Protection of Ethical Treatment of Animals, goes after these two fishermen that are fishing off this bridge in a public park. And actually sends like his little 8-year-old kid up to these two fishermen. Do you know that fish can feel pain? Do you know that that flowers can feel pain? Do you know? And then this guy just goes completely off, along with I guess his wife or his girlfriend.
Like, hey, I belong to PETA, eating tasty animals club, right?
They actually reached down, picked up this guy's fish, and threw it back in the water.
Really?
Oh, yeah. I mean, it was, if you haven't checked this out, I mean, there's crazy stuff, of course, on the internet. We're all aware of that. But this was pretty...
So he just had a meltdown.
No, it was staged. I mean, he's definitely putting himself in this position, yelling at these people to, you know, make a point. That's why the video camera's out. And hoping that these fishermen are going to give him the response that he wants, where maybe they would resort to physical violence, which they didn't. But I'm telling you, I probably would have.
You would? Wait. If you were telling the guy to throw the fish back, you would throw him in with the fish?
As soon as this guy reached down and grabbed my fish.
Hey, that's not my fish!
You know, that's it. Game on.
Mm-hmm.
So, speaking of wildlife, two incidents. Snakes on a boat, Greg. Snakes on a boat.
Is that the sequel to Snakes on a Plane?
You would think. If it's not already in pre-production, it should be. But one couple in Florida was transporting their boat, and when they got it to the destination, they pulled back the engine cover, and what did they find?
An engine.
An 8-foot Burmese python had decided to crawl into their boat and just make himself comfortable on top of their engine.
Nice. Was just looking for a warm space to chill, or, well, warm up, I guess. Not really.
And another great video with a rattlesnake trying to get on a boat, where the guys on the boat are actually whistling at the rattlesnake and telling it to come here.
Okay, the snake whistler.
The snake whistler, yes.
Yeah, okay. You can find those stories and more at the World of Boating Facebook page, or just start there at worldofboating.com. All right, that'll do it for this week. Till next time, remember, whether it's sail or motor,
life is better as a boater.
Safe boating, everyone.
Barnacle-bitten swab!
World of Boating is brought to you by worldofboating.com, your internet portal for the boating enthusiast.
Any of this getting through to you, son?
World of Boating is a production of Overboard Entertainment Incorporated.
Computer standing by.
Remember, you can listen live or to archives of past shows worldwide over the internet at worldofboating.com.
Computers can do that?
So tell a friend and come aboard every week for the World of Boating.
This is so great. I can't wait. I'm getting goosebumps. Feel me. Feel me.
The radio show devoted exclusively to the boating lifestyle.
TTFN, ta-ta for now.
The opinions you just heard on the World of Boating are those of the hosts, callers, and guests. They are not necessarily those of any station or network, its management, or advertisers.
What are you being such a weenie for?
While on the water, your safety and the safety of many others depends on you. So boat smart and operate your vessel only after receiving the proper training and instruction for your area.
There is a fine line between genius and madness.
Have any questions or comments? Feel free to do so via the web at worldofboating.com.